me a mission. I got demons to slay. Communication major talking this way. Anxious World. What's going on, everybody? I thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Anxiety About Anxiety podcast. I'm your host, Keith. Creator Keith, whatever you want to call me, podcast host. I do not know what the correct terminology is. I am here. I am here, you guys. I feel good to be able to talk to you guys and say that. I know you probably noticed over the last 2 weeks, the last couple episodes, I have not introed those episodes. I was away on vacation with my family, a much needed vacation. You know, just needed to step away for a while and, you know, have a good time and just, you know, breathe a little and just have a, you know, enjoy my family, try to get my mental right, get my mind right, get everything right with me. And that's what I've been doing, but I know the show must go on. So, you know, I think they went pretty good. You know, I had some very, very good guests come on and, you know, talk about that very important subject that I'm trying to highlight, and that's male mental health and our struggles that we go through, and that vulnerability that we all lack for some odd reason. We don't know how to talk about our feelings and our, it's not even talking about like our mental health struggles, it's just our feelings, starting off just our feelings, how we're feeling inside. You know, a lot of guys, we just want to just keep that in. We gotta have a hard exterior, you know what I'm saying? But in interior, you know, internally, we might be on fire, you know what I'm saying? We might be drowning. But you know, we gotta keep that persona going on, that, you know, we good. And you know, I'm just trying to, I don't even know if I'm trying to break it. I'm just trying to open up people's eyes to it, a lot of guys' eyes to it. And female too, you know. I know, and sometimes a lot of guys that's in relationships, you know, they feel like they can't let their spouse or their loved one, you know that, you know, I'm hurting, I'm struggling inside. You know, they don't want them to look at them different. I'm guilty of that. I've been through that. You know, I did not want my wife to know how I was feeling. I was scared, nervous that she might look at me differently, that she might not love me the same, you know, all of the above. But you know, guys, we got to change that. We really, really do. So I'm so glad to be back here just speaking with you guys for a couple minutes, man. Just, you know, lending my voice. I'm back at it, and I should change the name to the podcast. I don't know what to what, but you know, as a lot of you may know, I sometimes I record in my car, which is still probably not the most professional way to do it. But you know, I got to get a little quietness. You know, my kids, and you know, they like to talk when I used to record in the house, and I don't have a separate room that I can go into and record. So if you hear any echo, if you hear any sound, I'm just sitting in the car, just talking to you guys, expressing my feelings, and just being a voice, you guys. I do this show just to help people out. And you know, like I said, I've been on this journey just trying to figure out why a lot of guys don't talk about our mental health. I put some questions out, the same questions, a couple questions that I asked the guests to talk about. I recently put a couple on Facebook just to see what, you know, how people think. And man, some of the answers that I got back are just amazing. Why don't men express or talk about their mental health? And a lot of guys just responded by saying, because no one cares. No one cares. Don't nobody give a care. And it was way more than that. But just when I heard nobody cares, I just was like, that's not true. We probably feel that way, but it's not true, you guys. It's people that care. It's a lot of people out there that care. We've been taught that nobody cares how you feel as a man, but It's people out there that care. It's people out there that won't change. I'm one of them, you know. And I'm going to continue. Maybe next episode I'll come on here and share. I don't got them in front of me, but I got a list of 6 questions that I asked the guests. You know, I want to put them out there on the platform for people to email me and answer them and send them back. I will do that on the next show. But yeah, man, just putting some of those questions out there, I was amazed by the response that I got back. And I was just like, my gosh, man, the people don't care. Greed, money, like the some of the questions. And just it was a lot, man. And I, you know, toxic masculinity and where did that come from? And how, you know, it just, the answers was, wow, mind blowing, eye opening. But I'm gonna keep doing what I gotta do. So on this episode, I'm gonna move forward. I am joined by Anthony Moulin. And the title of his episode is A Safe Space to Breathe. I love that title because this is a safe place to breathe and just express your feelings. And he's going to do the same thing, man. He's going to share his opinion on why we as male figures don't express our feelings and talk about our mental health. And just share his opinion on how we can probably better that and get past that and move forward and, shed a light on it. So, Anthony, I appreciate you for joining the podcast and being a voice. So, without further ado, me talking all day, I know you guys didn't come here for me. Let's jump into this episode with Anthony. Everybody stay safe, stay blessed. Please leave a review, like, subscribe to the channel. Any ratings, anything, tell a friend to tell a friend. Email me at anxietyaboutanxiety@gmail.com. Share your opinions with me, how you like the show, what you want me to talk about. I appreciate it, you all. You all have a great day.
Hi there. My name is Anthony Moulin. I am a musician. I've done some podcasting before, make YouTube videos, just a lot of creative stuff. That's what I enjoy doing. And I am sending in some questions for the Anxiety About Anxiety podcast. So for that first question that you ask, why do men avoid seeking help with mental issues? I think a lot of these things are getting better. I'll preface it by saying that, but I would say, first of all, just overall mental health issues are still stigmatized. They used to be even more so, but that definitely hasn't, gone away, in full. There is still this kind of push to just deal with it, get past it, move on. You just got to, you know, you got to be a responsible adult, right? So you have to go to work every day and you have to, you know, make the money, get a house, have a family. Like, you have to do the things. And you can't let things like what we would call mental health issues get in the way of that. If you're depressed, like, grow up, life's hard. Deal with it like the rest of us do. If you're dealing with like PTSD or bipolar or schizophrenia or maybe the more extreme ones, then I think society just doesn't have much of an understanding of those yet. They get used in pop culture in a lot of ways that are not really accurate to the actual mental health issue. And so some people probably don't even recognize that's what they have for a very, very long time. For myself, you know, I deal with depression and anxiety. And even as someone who is more familiar with this side of things, my dad's a therapist, my wife's a therapist. It took a long time to realize that I was clinically depressed and like needed medication and help with that. So it can be hard to recognize. And then even when you do, it's hard to allow yourself to be okay with the idea that you need help. And I think most of these things are true for everyone or for our society as a whole. But there's definitely even a larger amount of that stigma placed on men historically, because men are the one who tough it out and get it done. And, you know, all the silly kind of toxic masculinity, be providers and be the strong ones and all that kind of stuff, that there's a lot of pressure to be as men in our society. Yeah. So, two, why are male mental health issues more stigmatized than female issues, and what can our society do to break that mold? That's a good question. I mean, I think there's some historical reasoning behind that, in the sense of we have definitely divided women into the emotional camp. And we used to have this kind of made up thing called hysteria or hysterical that we would apply to women anytime we didn't like how they were acting. And so a lot of this cultural idea that women just are emotional and can't handle it and are looked down on because of that, to be fair. Whereas men aren't really emotional. They're logical and rational. And acknowledging that men have emotions, and especially emotions of a certain kind, acknowledge, you know, men can have emotions like anger, right? They can have perhaps happiness as well. But anything that is strong and aggressive are emotions that men can have. Whereas, you know, real men don't cry. You know, men can't feel sad or vulnerable, confused, anything that would admit that they aren't in control and don't have power, especially because, again, kind of historically, men are the ones in power, and we don't want to believe that the people that we've put in power can have vulnerabilities and humanity to them. So, you know, it's the same things that oppress women oppress men. It's the same thing that we've done to women is what puts us in a bad position to be able to seek help and share our vulnerability. What can we do to break that mold? I mean, I think it's the work of feminism and or egalitarianism, or however you want to think about it. It's the work of making it okay for everybody to feel everything, for women to feel the emotions that they feel, and also to be rational and good leaders and not be oppressed by their society, and men to have vulnerability and to serve and care for people and be in positions that previously we've said that only are for women because they're the mothering type and they're the caretaker type, when men sometimes want to do that as well. How do we break that mold? That's a huge question, like on a practical level. I think a lot of it has to do with how we educate people, how we educate our children in the house and how we educate children in society and what we tell them is okay. And not taking advantage of weakness, but giving people a safe space to exhibit weakness. And let them know that that's okay, because not everybody is strong all the time, especially men. Like, that's okay. I think that'd be my first kind of push, is through education. What has contributed to the culture of toxic masculinity? What can be done to begin alleviating it? Similar things to the last one, right? I mean, this is stuff that has grown over centuries. Men have run the world for a long, long time, have been in charge of all the major civilizations for a long, long time. And that is gonna, you know, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. We all know that power usually goes to the person's head and does not lead to the best things. And if men have been in power for so long, then it doesn't seem... It doesn't seem surprising that it would have gone to their head and corrupted them and that would have spread out in a societal sort of way. Culture of toxic masculinity. I mean, there's just so many things that are still shared about you need to be tough and you need to, you know, allow that anger out, and if somebody is messing with you, you mess back with them, and rather than, you know, you can sit here and cry because that was unfair and it was awful that they treated you that way. And of course, the way that we objectify women, which is such a big part of it, we make ourselves feel better by dehumanizing the other gender, and make it very self-oriented, selfish, while at the same time never actually interacting with our real self at the center of it, that just doesn't want to be alone, and needs others. And to be alleviated, same kind of thing, I think it's going to be education. It's got to be changing how we talk about things. And for those who are, you know, so full-throated for what we would call toxic masculinity, and men are men and women are women and all that kind of stuff, I think we have to not meet them head-on with anger and vitriol and violence, because that's what they know, and they're just going to do what they've always done in that, which is attack back, defend themselves. They're not going to open up. The question that's so hard is, how do you give a safe space to somebody who has spent their whole life thinking that, you know, they have to make their space safe by being strong and not budging and not having emotions and those sorts of things? I don't have all the answers to that. It's too big a question. It's all the small acts and the bit by bit progress forward. What are the best resources for men facing emotional and mental health struggles? What are the best ways to commence dealing with these issues? Best resources. I think therapy is one. I mentioned that my dad and my wife are both therapists. I think everybody should go to therapy. We all need help becoming better at managing our emotions, of being aware of our emotions. So I think therapy can be good. I think, that, groups like AA can be helpful for, help with emotional and mental health struggles. Obviously if we're talking mental health, professionals, that's where you go, right? You got to go. If you are dealing with a mental health issue, you go to a professional, just like if you're dealing with a physical health issue, you go to a doctor, right? That's where you start. As for kind of ancillary, or auxiliary ways to go about that, yeah, groups like AA, support groups, doesn't have to be for alcohol, of course, but any sort of group that it meets regularly, provides partners that help you dive into yourself and your life as you do that with others, of course, you're going to become more in touch with yourself and better at communicating how you feel with yourself and with others, which is going to take off some of the pressure and tension that's not being able to express yourself can bring. Along those same lines, like I said at the beginning, I'm creative. That's what I like to do with my life. And I think more people need to dive into creativity as a hobby. Learning not only that you can express yourself, but how to express yourself through music and painting and writing and whatever is really helpful for good self-regulation and for processing through mental health issues. Question five, how would you describe your mental health? I do live with mental health disorders. Like I said, depression for sure. I would also say anxiety, though that one's less so than the depression. I take a generic version of Lexapro to help with that. How has it affected my life? Man, I didn't realize, like I said, for years that I was depressed. And I think looking back now, I would say that starting from middle school on, I was depressed and just didn't know that that was a thing, that that's what I was feeling, that what I was feeling wasn't normal or you know, neurotypical or whatever. And it wasn't until towards the end of college where some really bad things kind of happened in a row and I and triggered this really long-lasting depressive episode. I mean, you know, for a long, I mean, weeks and weeks, months and months, perhaps even, you know, you could say years on some level, that I just was not functioning well. I was surviving and making it through and just that. I learned over, you know, the last decade and a half, a lot of different avoidance techniques, whether it was, just numbing out and watching TV or reading or listening to music or podcasts or whatever. Or if it was avoidance, it was a lot of avoidance for me. So avoidance through working really hard and trying to succeed, but never actually dealing with real things and how I was doing, which was not well. And so it wasn't until after I got married and I had another person in my life to really see me a lot of the time and see that I was struggling and to clue me into that, more than I was aware, and open up the possibility of maybe I need to take some medication to help just balance me out so that I can have a larger likelihood of making the choices that I want to make and living the life that I want to live. In what way do I maintain my mental health? I do a lot of things. Like I said, taking some meds for it. I work to do a lot of the basic kind of fundamental things, getting good sleep and consistent sleep, drinking a lot of water, eating fairly healthy, working out, 5-6 times a week for at least 20-30 minutes a time. I also try to journal several times a day because that really helps me to take a step back and process what I'm doing and going through. I also have all these creative outlets that help me to practice expressing myself and enjoy doing that. I find things that I enjoy and love to do and try to do those things as much as I can, and spend time in relationships with others, whether it's my wife or my friends or my family, and as well as not ignoring where I'm at when I'm on my own, and spending some time alone to be with myself. Yeah, so all those things. I go to therapy, take the meds, a lot of good stuff. So, all right, that's basically the 6 questions. Hopefully there's something in there that's usable for you. I appreciate the work that you're doing. I'm glad to be able to make this and send it to you, and cool stuff. Thanks. Bye.